This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Nanita Desai, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you about your music for Sam Barlow's new thriller, Telling Lies. It's great to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you for inviting me, Kate. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
The premise of this game is so fascinating because it's a live-action game, and yet you are playing as, I guess, an NSA agent that's received a stolen hard drive, and so it's your job to watch all of these videos, and they're one-sided, so you only hear both sides of the conversation the further you get into the game, and yet there's one big lie that unites all four of these characters. And so I would love to know, just right off the bat, how did you get involved in this project?
Well, Sam approached me. I got a BAFTA Breakthrough Brit accolade about 3 years ago. And there was a lot of fuss being made about all of us. They chose 18 people out of about 700 people in the UK who they regarded as breakthrough, BAFTA breakthrough Brits in the world and the creative sectors that we were working with in film and television and games. And so I was one of the selected 18, which was wonderful. And they tweeted about it on Twitter, on social media, and that put me into the whole sort of scheme and accolade, put us on the radar of people, film and TV directors and companies and games designers working in the industry, looking at the new talent that was coming out. And Sam sent me a message on Twitter. And I was quite, I thought, who is this stranger? I had no idea who he was. And he said, he just sent me a direct message and said, I've been listening to your music and would you be interested in scoring an interactive movie? And that, my ears perked up, and I thought, well, first of all, I thought it was a friend playing a prank on me. I didn't realize that I didn't take it seriously, and because it sounded too good to be true. He said, I'm making this interactive movie stroke game with a really cool LA-based film company, and I'd love to talk to you about writing the music for it. So normally I'm used to going through hoops to when I'm working on projects, and this seemed too good to be true. So then he said, well, I'm sorting out the contract with the company. I'll tell you more about it when it's done. And I heard nothing from him for about 3 or 4 months. Wow. So I forgot about it. I thought it was a friend playing a prank, and I just dismissed it. And then suddenly I get a message from Sam again a few months later saying, contract signed, we're all set to go, let's talk about music. So it was a dream come true for me, in that because I primarily score film and television, I really believe that the future of entertainment is some kind of hybrid between film and narrative linear storytelling and FMV, live action, and video games. And so it appeals to all audiences. And that's what appeals to me, to be able to have total immersiveness in rich, complex storytelling, sort of narrative video games. So that's what I found attractive about the project as well. And also I was a little bit daunted about working with Sam, because when I found out who he was and what he'd done with Her Story and the success that he'd had with it, and then of course Silent Hill, I was quite I thought, gosh, I'm getting into something where I've never really worked in before in this area. So that actually got me more excited about working on it, but a little bit daunted as well.
I'll bet. Well, you could have taken the music in a lot of different directions, because the game isn't set in any particular really notable location.
Yes.
It's not set in a different time period. It's in the now time, and it's not really clear where these people are location wise. So you didn't need to use a lot of ethnic music or anything to identify that. So how did you finally settle on the style of this music that ended up being such a great fit with the game?
Well, basically, it was just Sam and I working together, I didn't have a whole team of or any other creative input from anyone else. So it's like a big indie game, if you like. So it was just the developer, the director, Sam, and myself. So when we first discussed the project, Sam told me in two words what the game was about. And then he elaborated on some of his film inspirations that varied from films such as Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation, which is a hugely influential movie for me, to Three Colors Red, Three Colors Blue, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, sort of 70s spy movies like All the President's Men and Clute, and films like Chinatown, those great, you know, very atmospheric, it was a noir as well, neo-noir films. And so I've always had a soft spot for that genre of filmmaking. And Sam wanted someone, I think the reason why he contacted me was he wanted somebody who had experience of being able to tell stories with music with a cinematic sensibility. And I think he had heard a couple of pieces of mine from some other project that I'd written. So that really resonated with him. So between the two of us, we came up with this. We knew that we wanted to go with a modern classical style approach for the score. And I'm very visually inspired. So Sam gave me a several hundred page script to work from. I didn't have any visuals at all. I just got this, what felt like a traditional film script. So I was drawing from Sam's very elaborate notes and very visual analogies that he, so that helped me draw a mental picture of the sound world. And then we had lots of in-depth conversations about the characters, because there are four main characters. And we talked about the multiple facets of their personalities and their dramatic arcs within the script. So in that regard, it wasn't too different from scoring for film. And then after, you know, I got copious notes from him about each character, and I started creating music playlists for each character that Sam would then feed back on. So before I wrote a single note, I did a fair amount of research, looking into different styles, because classical music or modern classical, I mean, there were so many inspirations, musical and filmic inspirations. So Sam would send me a few pieces he'd been listening to while he was writing the script. And eventually we would collate fragments of what he liked and what I liked about various pieces of music and what they did emotionally for the characters that I was writing for. People like Philip Glass or other noir references and modern classical music, they were sort of good jumping off points. And it really helped us hone down the core of what we were trying to say emotionally. And then, so that was the sort of the first phase. And then overall, because it's such a dialogue heavy game, mm-hmm. which a lot of games are not, it drew a parallel with film and drama, because you have characters talking all the time. And so you have to be very careful with the way you use music with dialogue heavy scenes. You can't have a big bombastic score playing, you know, many genres of video games. You just can't do that. So we wanted the music to have quite a relaxed pace overall, and we aimed for a sparse, minimalist orchestral score that had a lot of repeated structures.
Thank you.
in terms of the mechanics of the game, there's one feature where when you're watching a video clip, you can scrub backwards and forwards and like rewind and go forward like a old video machine, watching bits again and again. And those repeated structures, we wanted to reflect that in the music. So to something in the music that reflected the mechanical video scrubbing motion that the player goes through. So it has that sort of modern neoclassical feel of Philip Glass at times, where you're just repeating music. But again, we didn't want it to be boring and repetitive, and that was the challenge, to make it interesting musically.
Well, it really is interesting, and what struck me about it, because you spent so much time watching these people recording really intimate conversations, and there's an intimacy to the orchestration that you ended up with too. And in so many cases, the music also sounds like a conversation, like just a dialogue between the cello or the piano. And it's just such a great fit. So were all of the musicians part of the London Contemporary Orchestra?
Yes. So that was a very conscious decision to go with them, with the LCO, as opposed to any other orchestra or any other group of musicians, because they're all, for a start, they're all used to working together as an ensemble, which means that they have this relationship. The musicians have this spark and familiarity of playing off one another when they're working together, because they're so familiar with each other, as opposed to just bringing in a scratch or session orchestra where you have a homogenous sound. I mean, they have a unique sound. And so most of my commissions are some kind of combination of acoustic and electronic hybrid sounds for various projects. And here, why I wanted to bring them in is that the crux of the story is about human relationships, with strong, as you say, very intimate, up close and personal performances. Like, you almost feel like you shouldn't be privy to the private conversations taking place. And so with the sound palette, I wanted to get that intimate atmosphere across with the purity and rawness of the acoustic organic sounds of the instruments. And when we settled on the style of the, you know, the modern orchestral style, the LCO are very good collaborators. They're more than just a band for hire. So the sound of the music, where you actually hear the relationship between the musician and their instrument, like you can actually hear the sound of the bow hitting the strings, that raw, visceral, grating quality of the bow that you can hear in the opening main theme, for example, but played in a very warm and intimate way. That's what I wanted to get across, to sort of work with the intimacy of the scenes that you're watching. I'm inherently trying to help create a subtle atmosphere that forces the listener to listen to the detail. So when you're watching the video scenes, like you said, Kate, you only hear one side of the conversation. And so it forces the player to focus on the bits in between, where there's silence when the other person's talking and you're not hearing that other side of the conversation, the small facial inflections and the rich detail in the actors' performances are supported by the detail that you hear in the musical performances. It's all very considered and thought out, but you don't realize the effect that it's having on creating this atmosphere of the whole game. So in the end, I think with the LCO, we had a 15-player string section, and we had two woodwinds, a piano and a harp. And the other thing that we did with the orchestra, which the LCO are unique at doing, is that once we recorded the straight version of the music, as you can hear it, we then did something quite unique in that we experimented in the session by improvising and trying other experimental extended techniques that the orchestra do. So we tried things out that you hear in modern classical music that you don't necessarily hear in a traditional film score. And that was one of the most exciting aspects of the process, because the score is very considered and precise. Every note has a reason to be there. And I spent over 18 months working on those pieces, and it doesn't seem like a lot of music, but sounds like a disservice to other game scores, but it was like quality over quantity.
Right.
When you do hear the music, when it is in the game and it's subtly there, it brings something to the vibe and the atmosphere that as opposed to having hours and hours of music just bombarded at the player playing all the time. So there is a lot of silence because there's a lot of dialogue playing, but when the music is there, it has an impact and it makes difference to what's going on. And there's also stuff that's going on in the themes that related to each character. In the recording session, we were trying stuff out. Normally you go into a recording session and everything's worked out meticulously, because time is money and you're paying thousands of pounds, you know, to record these musicians in these top studios. And of course we did that. But we were then, once we'd done that in the session, we built in time to do experimental playing in the session itself. So we would, because I wanted to introduce an element of chaos and edginess to the musicians playing to shake things up a bit. So we were doing alternate versions and different versions of the same pieces of playing, which are sort of very subtly different when you hear it in the game. We have slightly alternate versions playing as well.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And what I've noticed playing the game too is that, you know, because the music isn't wallpaper at all, it really does have an impact when it finally comes in. It's like suddenly you've got some company while you're scrolling through these videos.
I hope so. I wrote four themes, and each theme is written for a character. And it's quite interesting because when we were preparing the soundtrack release, I gave each theme a character's name, and we said no, we can't give the names of the characters away because that's a major spoiler, because part of the joy of piecing together this complex puzzle, if you like, for want of a better word, is that when you find a character's name, when you uncover the character's name, it's like a whole new revelation as part of the plot. So each theme represents a character, and let's say, for example, I've titled a piece Order, for example. That word represents the personality and that character. So with Sam's detailed notes, he gave me a lot of background info on each person. I mean, everything was so meticulously detailed that he would, even if it's not in the game, he had worked out the life history of each character, you know, what they ate when they were a child and what films they liked and what music they listened to and their relationships with their family and their whole back history. Even if it's not in the game, he had worked it all out. So you had that attention to detail. So the intention was to write a piece of music that reflected each person and their personality. So it's like going to, you know, when you go to a funeral and you read someone's epitaph, or you have in the Times newspaper here, mm-hmm. you know, you'll read about the obituary section, mm-hmm. and you'll see so and so died, and then they will summarize a whole person's life into 50 words or 70 words.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's your life, you know, and that's kind of what I had to do. I had to summarize a whole person's life and personality into one single piece of music.
And
each piece had to be 5.5 minutes, roughly 5.5 to 6 minutes long. And with the mechanics and the sort of the technical constraints of writing the piece, I had to write it in a modular way. So each piece was broken down into 6 or 7 smaller sections, and each section like Lego blocks, and it could be played in any order. And so when you do that, it instantly becomes quite restrictive technically how you mm-hmm. construct the piece of music. So the challenge for me personally was to write a piece of music that flowed lyrically and elegantly from section to section, so that when it was reordered within the game, you wouldn't notice it, or you wouldn't know. It just flowed as a beautiful piece of music. So something like the piece Order, which represents the character, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but there are lots of sliding strings that go downwards, and they represent the slippery, dark, mysterious side to this character. And of course, everyone's lying to everyone, and there are, everyone's being Machiavellian and duplicitous, and so you have the main external personality, which is in the main piece of music. And then about halfway through into a piece of music, when the player delves deep down into that character and perhaps unravels something and opens something, you think, oh, we're getting onto something here. The music subtly shifts tone into and represents a different aspect of that person's character. So it's like a hidden loop that, if you're lucky, you'll be able to hear that loop if you dig deep enough when you're playing the game, a bit like an Easter egg. So that was quite fun. Thank you.
I'll bet. It sounds like it must have been a little bit like a complicated math problem, Ben. And I know you got a degree in math, and trying to work out how to break up your initial idea so that you could reconfigure it in any particular way. It must be fun, but also probably tying your brain in knots.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was, that's what I like about, I mean, I can get quite geeky and technical about things, but I think at heart, what I think resonates for me with this game more than anything is that despite the technical challenges and making things work and the mechanics and so on, which is all wonderful, this game is about what it means to be a human being. Digging deep into the human psyche. When everyone lies. We're from the age of, we learn from a very, very early age, 3 or 4 years old, don't quote me on it, but we learn from a very early age to lie subconsciously and consciously to people, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, and we lie for all sorts of reasons. We tell white lies and serious lies, and it's ingrained into what it means to be a human being, and that really fascinates me about what makes people tick. And I think that more than what I was anticipating, I think with this game, that's come out for me more. I think people are resonating with that aspect of the game, and I think so with the music, there's a reason for every note that's there. It's meticulously worked out. And that's why it was, for me, I'm saying quality over quantity. I spent a long time sort of working on each piece and coming up with just the right theme and notes, and with the orchestra as well, to create something that was pure perfection in my mind of what that personality, that character represents. It was quite a lot of deep soul searching there.
Yeah, well, at least you had enough time to do that, because in a lot of cases the music has to be done within a matter of weeks or at least just a few months. So it's nice that you had such a long time to really work out exactly what you wanted. And since you met these characters first basically on paper in the script, were there any surprises when you finally got to see who Sam had cast for the different characters?
Oh, gosh. Well, Sam, I had to write the music. One of the challenges of writing the music is that I couldn't see any visuals. At all. I was just working from the script, and I'm a very visually inspired composer as well. So when you put visuals in front of me, I know immediately what to write. I respond to it in a very sort of natural, instinctive way when I respond to visuals. But here I was, all I had to go on were Sam's detailed notes, which were very, which was fine. And that forced me to be creative in a way that I'm not normally creative, which is, it's great to shake things up, that sort of creative process, shake it up in a different way. But Sam wanted the music to be written before the shoot, and he didn't cast until I think just after I'd finished writing the music, because the casting process was took quite a long time to getting the right people. They spent a long time casting, I think. And so I think Sam wanted that music beforehand so that the music could help influence the choices that he was making as well in terms of casting. And the characters were very developed. So when I saw the characters and the announcement of who he'd got, I thought, yes, he's just, it was just fantastic. It was like just perfect. It was so, so well cast, I think. So that was that was a bit of a relief.
I'll bet. You've spent so much time getting inside of each one of the four characters, but I'm wondering if there was any of them that you empathized with more than others?
I do. I mean, when I'm writing, I immerse myself totally into the story and the world that has been created, and also the characters. I do inhabit the characters. It's for me, I have to be able to represent them in a true and authentic way, I need to get inside their minds and understand what makes them tick. And so they're all really interesting characters. I think, I can't mention their names, but order and intimacy I really resonate with, in particular. But they all have something really different to offer. my lips are sealed. Kate.
Yeah, I know it's difficult because as you mentioned, the game is out now. But since it takes so long to get through it, we don't want to give away any spoilers. Intimacy is a wonderful cue, and the track itself, because it's a waltz and it has this kind of light, almost French character to it.
Yeah.
So what were some of the aspects of this person's character that kind of made you think that was a good fit?
Well, it's the main loop, if you like, the external main bulk of the piece of music, the meat of the piece of music when you listen to it, is it's a waltz, and this subterfuge, it was meant to be. The brief from Sam was that it had to be slightly perverse and intoxicating, to represent the kind of person who's, how can I put it, a courtesan in all her finery. Okay, that's the kind of analogy that was given. And it's this magical world, a magical waltz world. But then when you hear the hidden aspect of the hidden, when you delve deep with the character, there's another layer to the personality, and we get into the reality. So we've created this fictional magical waltz, okay, that's like a fairy tale. And then we dig deep, and then it all unravels, and it becomes slightly less artful and a slightly clumsy version of the main section of the piece of music. Sam was wonderful. His sort of very, very visual analogies. He said, I want the hidden section of the piece of music to sound like joyless sex. Okay. I thought, yeah, okay. I'm not sure what you mean, really, Sam. But okay, I can imagine. So this piece, this section of the piece of music has to sound like joyless sex, he said. I thought, okay, I gotcha. And it's like a slightly when everything becomes real and that illusion and fairy tale has disappeared, what does the piece of music sound like? What's this person really like? And so that was and I always wanted to write a waltz like this. And the musician that's playing it, the lead violin, is Galia Galbisen. I can't pronounce her name properly, but she's the leader of the LCO orchestra, and she's absolutely fantastic. She's a great musician, and so it was great to. It really was wonderful to work with such a high caliber of musicians on this. They just got it. They were really wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just astonishing to me that these orchestras can put something together and create an astonishing performance with no time really to take a look at the music ahead of time, and it's all fresh and new for them. It's just, just really appreciate that about them. And one of the things I was wondering, because the first sort of hint that we got of what your music was going to sound like was in the trailer. And congratulations on your Music and Sound Award for Best Music in a Gaming Trailer. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it was, yes. It's actually the main theme of the game, and then I had to re-edit it, repurposed it for the trailer. So that was quite lovely, because to get an award for the game before the game was even out was really quite sweet.
Yeah, writing music for a trailer must be a slightly different discipline than writing music for, obviously, in a film or in a game or a TV show.
Yeah, it is, because you have such a short time frame to make a strong statement. So it is a very different discipline. I actually used to write, a few years back, I used to write music for trailers. So I've written the music for about 30-odd film trailers. So I got a lot of practice at that. And it's a piece of music, or these days, you know, several pieces of music, two or three pieces of music, that immediately connect you to the essence of the film or the game. And it's and I think what makes a successful trailer is these days something that's slightly unusual in form and plays with structure, so that it's not just a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's something that keeps the player on edge and that has a distinctiveness and a unique element to it, but still encapsulates the essence of the film or game or drama series in 2 minute, 1, 2, 3 minute piece of music. So it's quite a, there's a lot of responsibility on the music in a trailer to represent the film or represent the project. It's quite an art.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it has to be so compact and, again, you know, nothing unnecessary. And I love how your music is, it does sound kind of tense and a little bit off kilter to keep reinforcing the fact that we shouldn't believe what we're seeing here from all of these people.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Sam gave me, again, I got pages of A4 notes about the music for the music for the opening of the game and the trailer and what it should represent. And it was a case of, as a composer for media, you're trying to read the director's mind and try and translate the emotions and the intention of what they're trying to say with their project into a piece of music. So I had to, for instance, with this one, I had to give a sense of the urgency and the drama and the suspense that was almost at odds with the undramatic, calm vibe of the desktop that's going to happen. So we wanted to be quite violent and aggressive with the piece of music, because then when you get into the game, it's the total opposite, and it's sort of, you can calm down. And so you just calm down and say, okay, right, this is an intro. I know that this is something big. It just sets the tone of the whole game, which was a huge lot of fun. I wanted to try something different and something that was fresh. I spent about 4 days working on that theme, just trying so many different ideas, and nothing would work. And then I played with a really unusual rhythm time signature. It's written in 7/4, which is slightly unusual for a title theme. But also, because we've got four characters, you've got lots of sort of different lines, musical lines, with this unusual rhythm. It's quite rhythmical. And it was like a question and answer. I wanted all these different elements from the four different characters to come together in this aggressive mix and burst of energy at the beginning. And we had a lot of fun recording it, because it was a really difficult piece to record. the orchestra had to, because it's such a, I like rhythm, and because I learned the tablas when I was very young, the Indian classical drum. I'm used to writing what to me sounds very simple, is actually rhythmically different time signatures, quite complex for normal classical musicians to play. So no disservice to classical musicians. They are amazing and so skilled. But when it comes to rhythm, I do overcomplicate things sometimes. And so that was a lot of fun that was a lot of fun to record in the session. But we got there in the end, and and I think, you know, I was quite happy with the results. So yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, well, it must have been fun for them too, because I'm sure they like to be pushed a bit and not play the same old kind of things. So yeah. Have you worked with them before, the LCO?
No, but I've been wanting to work with them for a long time. I really admire their work. They've played on things like Phantom Thread, feature films like Phantom Thread, and You Were Never Really Here. So quite experimental, edgy scores. And they were great collaborators in that regard. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it was just an amazing experience, just start to finish. And I'm wondering if there's anything I didn't touch on that you wanted to let people know about the whole experience of writing the music.
I tell you what was a challenge. I mean, this project was different for me in the way I normally work, because I get commissioned to write a score and I'll start on it and I'll work through to the finish, and with no gaps in between, no pauses. And with this, because I was involved in the development and the game for such a long time, over 2.5 years or so, there were pauses in the development. So I'd work on it in short bursts, quite intensely for a few weeks, and then I would pause for a couple of months and then get back into it. And pausing like that and stopping working on the project was actually quite challenging, because I'd get into the game and immerse myself in it. And then when I had to pick it up a few months later, it took me a while for me to get back into it again. And so that stop-start process was a bit challenging, but it wasn't insurmountable. It was just a little bit unusual to how I normally work.
Yeah, well, I would think that kind of losing that momentum, it would take a little bit to kind of get back into it. On the other hand, did you find that when you had to revisit the score, what you were working on, did you come at it with a slightly different perspective? And did that change how you were thinking about the music or that particular cue that you were writing that day?
Yes, because I kept wanting to go back and rewrite things. So I, because we all evolve and our personalities change and how we view the project and see things, as you say so rightly, we come back to it with fresh eyes and ears, and I think, oh, actually, and that was a real luxury to be able to do that, because I wrote a theme, and when I came back to it a few months later, I thought, actually, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not personally happy with this. Let me have another bash at it and go at it. And Sam gave me a lot of freedom in that regard. He was very happy for me to sort of go back and revisit things. So that I really enjoyed. So it has a good side and a bad side, because I'm used to working under a lot of pressure, under time pressure. And working under time pressure forces you to be creative in a different way, where I'm the kind of composer who never lets go. Nothing, a piece of music's never finished until they say, you've got to deliver it tomorrow. and so I would just keep fiddling and fiddling and fiddling and trying to improve themes and trying to improve everything. But I mean, with the LCO, we didn't record the score right until the very end of the whole process. So that's a dangerous thing, because I could fiddle. But that's what made working on the project so joyous. And also, it was a remarkable team. Normally people are working under a lot of stress, and we have a lot of execs, and in the film and TV industry, I have many directors and editors and exec producers and showrunners, and that has its own set of problems, if you like. It's just a different process, a different way of working, and there's a lot of politics and a lot of pressures involved there. Whereas here, it was the total opposite. I had one person, Sam, that I'd collaborate with. And of course, I worked with the audio director and worked with him implementing the music in the game, which was a fun process, seeing it all come together. And then the other co-developers, Furious B, they were lovely to deal with, but they were handling. I didn't deal with them on a creative level, but we did communicate regularly. So that was it was a process that I really, really enjoyed, and I hope to be able to repeat again in the future.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole wash of sound, is just so remarkable, and the music is absolutely gorgeous. And Nainita, it's been so nice to have a chance to talk with you about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kate, for inviting me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.